God. Every stronghold's got to come down. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's the new Rhema Singers and Band. As you notice, they've got three members that are in the graduating class. And so they'll be, in fact, they're leaving next Thursday, I think, for about 6 weeks out on the road. So, and then they'll come back and get ready for camp meeting. But I'll tell you one thing. They not only are good at what they do, but they got the anointing. Now, there's a lot of people that can sing. But I like people that can sing, got the anointing too. You know what I'm talking about? Praise God. Our speaker tonight is a man that has been friends with this ministry for a number of years. John Osteen has served as a pastor, evangelist, author, teacher for 49 years. He was ordained as a Southern Baptist preacher, received the Holy Spirit in 1958. And of course, this experience changed his entire ministry, his vision, and his life. He has, from that time, gone into a worldwide outreach that Jesus Christ placed upon his heart, which he still carries forth that vision today as pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, church that is known as an oasis of love in a troubled world. They've just finished and dedicated a brand new 8,000-seat auditorium. John holds a bachelor's degree from John Brown University, a master's degree from Northern Baptist Seminary, a doctor's of letters from Indiana Christian University, and a doctor of divinity from Oral Roberts University. I think that's enough introduction. Let me say this as the final introduction. Would you welcome our commencement speaker tonight, a man of God, a man that knows God, a man that loves God, and a man that has a vision for the world, Reverend John Osteen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad this night has come. Amen. Amen. I thought as I heard Kenneth Hagin Jr. talking, I knelt beside him at an altar. He did not know I was listening to him pray. The First Assembly of God Church in Pasadena, Texas. And I heard him pray. Oh God, you've got to supply my needs to get through college. Oh God, I'm believing you to meet every need. And I thought, this family is a family of faith. They have believed God for everything. I don't know about you, but there's a great appreciation in my heart for the Hagin family tonight. Give them a hand clap, would you? As a Baptist preacher who had received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, I went everywhere giving my testimony, sharing the good things of God, blasting the Baptists out of their religion, making them mad, sad, or glad, one or the other. All I could do was just share my testimony. I didn't have much preaching in me, except the revelation that we ought to shake the denominational world. Jesus said to me, I want you to go out and march up and down the valleys of denominationalism. I want you to lift your voice like the voice of an archangel and prophesy in the valley until there's a shaking of those bones, until they come together and they stand upon their feet as a mighty army. Well, thank God I did it. And I shared those things, but I didn't have too much more to share when I got through with that until I met Brother Hagin. And I got to following him around. And I was amazed at what I was hearing. I didn't have any revelation of what you know in this school then. And it was his ministry that changed my life. I tell everybody I taught him everything he knows. But the fact is, he had a great input in my life. And I thank God that all that we have done at Lakewood Church and around the world came as a result when my ministry was changed by the revelation I got from Brother Kenneth Hagin. And I thank God for him tonight, and I rejoice in what God is continuing to do right here in this great school of Rhema. I want to read a scripture to you tonight and just bring you a short, by faith, short. I remind you, I have several conclusions. You know, they taught us in Baptist College, get up, speak up, and shut up. Start low, rise higher, and catch fire. That's what we got when we got the Holy Ghost, see. So we never know what's going to happen, but we'll just start out here. This is Paul's defense before Agrippa. And he said, I heard a voice speaking unto me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of the things which you have seen and of those things which I shall appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. You know, I was thinking a moment ago about the condition of the world that you're about to graduate into. This is a commencement exercise. It's not over. It is commencing. I think about how dark the world is. Many of you haven't lived as long as maybe Brother Hagin and I have lived, but we've seen lots of changes in the world. You're living in one of the darkest hours that we have ever seen. I'm not going to enumerate the darkness because I'm not going to brag on the devil. But whoever would ever conceive that we would live when such liberties would be taken with morals that you and I know are being taken today? Pornography, unseemly things, filth on every hand. The world has gone wild. A few years back, they embraced an idea that God wasn't necessary. And so as a result, we've sown to the wind and reaped to the whirlwind. And now a generation of demon-possessed, devil-oppressed, sighing, crying, dying people are out there living in our generation. It's dark, it's dark, it's dark. But thank God the Bible says, darkness shall cover the land and gross darkness the people, but upon us the light has shined. Amen. I think about the world and all that is in the world today. I think about the religious upheaval. How ministries are falling right and left, and everybody's concerned about what's going to happen in the church. I've got good news for you. Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It may prevail against a denominational church or some kind of a religious organization, but I'll tell you, the church Jesus built will stand the test of time. I think about the world. All of its need for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A world that's waiting to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. I remind you that over the half of the world's population is in Asia. Over half the world's population is in Asia. And they have not been told about the Lord Jesus Christ. 600,000 villages in India alone. And they have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. They do not know. While we argue about His second coming, they've never heard about His first coming. And they wait, worshiping demons, sighing, crying, dying, and going into a lost eternity while the world plays religion. Now, into this scene you come. Thank God, God is raising up an army. I said God is raising up an army. In the midst of all the religious people who deny the power of God, who play church, who go to church, but still lie, still curse, tell dirty jokes, have a form of godliness that denies the power of God there. Thank God there has arisen on the earth an army of God's people. They stand like an army. They have said, no, world, goodbye, devil, goodbye, demons, goodbye, compromise. My life is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know the hope of the world is not in religion. The hope is of the world is in the Lord Jesus Christ, brought to the world by people like you. Thank God you come on the scene. Thank God Rhema graduates are scattered throughout the world. Thank God they're men and women that make a difference in our generation. Think about what the world would be like without Rhema graduates. Think about what the world would be like without the revelation this man has brought to our generation. Thank God we're not an accident. We're here on time doing the will of God. Could I have an amen?
Amen.
Now let's talk about this scripture a minute. Jesus was the object of his persecution, you see. And he's telling this story over and over again. And he's out to kill those who name the name of Jesus. He's out to put in jail those who name the name of Jesus because he believes Jesus is dead. And so now a voice comes with this light. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, who are you? I'm glad he didn't say, I'm the Christ. I'm glad he didn't say, I'm the Son of God. I'm glad he didn't say, I'm the Messiah. He said, I am Jesus. I am the one born of the Virgin Mary. I am the same one who was brought into the world, who went into the temple at age 12. I am the Jesus who was baptized in the River Jordan. I am the Jesus that the Holy Ghost came upon. I am the Jesus that began to cast out devils and heal the sick. I am the Jesus that made the eyes of the blind see. I am the Jesus that made the deaf to hear. I am the Jesus that stood in front of Lazarus' grave and cried, Lazarus, come forth. I am the Jesus that drove out the devil from the man in Gadara. I am the Jesus that went to the palace hall. I am the Jesus they arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. I am the same Jesus that they took there and whipped at the post and nailed to the cross. I am the Jesus they put in the tomb. I am the Jesus that arose from the dead and am seated at the right hand of the Father. I am that same Jesus. Thank God he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but arise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose. You know, the Lord may not ever have appeared to you. I know all of you would be like I am. I wish I could see him like Brother Hagin has seen him. And it may not be your privilege to have one of those divinely granted appearances. But you know, in one measure, in one way, there is a measure in which this is true of all of us. Jesus said to Saul, I have appeared unto you. Now he saw him. But he has appeared in some manner to all of us. We all have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. We may never have seen him. Now I was coming home as a dropout of high school. Lost, undone, without God. No hope in the world. Coming from a poor family, just drifting through life, working in the ISIS theater in Fort Worth, Texas on the north side. And there I am, a dropout, working in this theater. And I went to a dance hall one night and walking home at 2 o'clock in the morning, alone, lost and undone without God. Suddenly, it seemed as though somebody was walking beside me. It was Jesus. He began to talk to my heart. about where I was going to spend eternity. He began to knock at my heart's door. You see, that's where I first got an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't see him, but he appeared unto me in a measure. Do you understand what I'm talking about? In other words, he has come to all of us. We don't have to see him. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Shout, I'm one of those. Shout, I'm one of those. Yes, we don't have to see him. He said, I have appeared unto you. I have come to you. And each one of you graduates, I want you to hear me carefully. You're here because the Lord Jesus Christ has laid his hand upon your life. You may never have seen him, but he has touched your life. And he said, I have appeared unto you for this purpose. He never touches and comes to you without a purpose. Every one of us has a divine purpose in the kingdom of God. He said, Saul, I have appeared unto you for this purpose. You must never doubt that the devil has a purpose for your life also. The devil has a plan and a scheme. He has demons assigned to you 24 hours a day to bring you down. You're on his hit list. He has a contract out on your life. The devil is doing his best, but I've got good news for you. His best is not enough. But not only does the devil have a will for your life and a design on your life, but Jesus has a design and a purpose for your life. No longer can you drift through life and say, I'll do what I want to do. I have appeared unto you for this purpose. Paul said that I may apprehend that for which I've been apprehended of Christ. In other words, Jesus apprehended me and he had a purpose for me, and my business is to apprehend, to make my own that for which he laid his hand upon me. I'll tell you, young folks and older folks, the highest thing you can ever do, the highest thing you can ever do is to lay hold of that divine plan that God has for your life. I remember a prophecy years ago that Brother Hagin gave me. I'll tell you, I didn't know what all I was going to have to face, death and all, a lot of other things in Dodie's life. But I remember when he prophesied over me, he said, no, God said, no, I have a purpose for your life, and that purpose is not yet fulfilled. But it shall be fulfilled. Thank God for that prophecy. I'll tell you, God, I could say the same thing to you. God has a purpose for your life. That purpose has not been fulfilled, but it shall be fulfilled. It shall be fulfilled. He said, I want to apprehend that for which I've been apprehended of Christ. I have appeared unto you. I have come to you, Rhema graduate. I have touched your life for this purpose, to make you. To make you. You might have the idea that you have arrived tonight. You have not arrived tonight. How many of you know you don't know everything? Could I have another amen? Amen. The greatest thing that I ever learned in all of my life outside of being saved. Would you like to know what it is? The greatest thing I ever learned in all of my life. I'm going to say it again. The greatest thing I ever learned in all of my life outside of being saved is that God is wiser and smarter than I am. He knows best. And he said, I have appeared unto you not because you're such a good person, not because you're such a high and mighty person, not because of your intellect or your abilities. I have appeared unto you because you're such a sorry mess, and I'm going to make you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And ever since Jesus laid his hand upon you, he has been endeavoring to make you. His hands are the hands of the potter. Remember Jeremiah's story? He looked in there and the potter was working on this vessel, and the vessel was marred in the potter's hands. Did you know it's not the potter's fault that the vessel is marred? Did you know what the potter had to do? He had to remake it again into another vessel, but he had to find out that hard place and that clay that wouldn't mold, and he had to pull out some things there and start over again. That's the way it is with God. He wants to make us, but sometimes the vessel is marred in his hands. Then it's up to us to do something about our lives, to give him clay he can work with. I have appeared unto you to make you. God wants to make you. We are not where we are in the ministry today. Brother Hagin is not where he is in the ministry today. Kenneth Hagin Jr. is not where he is today by accident. There's been a long process of making, of passing the test again and again and again. Many people could have risen to heights to do great things for God, but they would not let the Lord Jesus Christ make them. They did not pass the test. You know, we're going to have to pass the test of integrity. The greatest need today is to be on the earth a band of men and women who have passed the test of integrity. You will not lie. You will not back up. You will not be less than your best. You will strive for excellence. You must pass the test of honesty. You know, a doctor told me not long ago, he said, the greatest stack of unpaid bills in my office is they're unpaid by Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, demon-casting out, wall-climbing, screaming, falling out people. Now, we laugh at that, but friends, it's a blot. It's a blot. Wherever you go, you must pass the test of being a person of integrity, a person that's honest and open. Somebody said, what does it take to be a success? Do you have to be a mighty intellect? Do you have to have special education? No, it just takes somebody who will be honest and open with God, who will strive to reach out and do His will and pass the test. I've come to make you. You'll have opportunities to compromise. You'll have opportunities to gain by doing wrong to your brothers and your sisters. You know, you can't sling mud without losing ground. You know, we have to be careful with our mouth, our attitude in life. You see, you're just now starting. I don't know whether you're going to make it or not. I don't know whether or not the Lord will be able to make you or not. It's not up to the Lord. It's up to you to walk softly before God, to read your Bible, to pray, to meditate, to go alone with Him, to walk with Him, to make whatever sacrifice is necessary, to let Him make you, to take everything out of your life that will hinder the touch of His hand. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, I want to climb the hill of God. I want to get above the smog and fog of this world. I want to wrap my fingers in the garments of God and say, oh God, I'll not be shaken off. I'll not be less than my best in this hour. If there's no anybody else going to do it, I don't know. But I'm going to be one man that'll follow you 100%. I'm going to knock a home run for you. I'm going to make a touchdown for you. I'm going to strike 12. Let's strive for excellence. I've appeared to you to make you. Oh, God has such a vision for your life. He wants to make you. He's not going to reveal it all at one time. But if you'll just follow the gentle leading of the Holy Ghost and pass the test. I've appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister. That's what you've been studying about. To make you a minister. No, He didn't make you a minister in some particular religious group. He came to make you an able minister of the new covenant. Do you know people who are able ministers of the new covenant are few and far between? That's the reason I spend most of my time in the New Testament. Because that's where I'm supposed to preach. Now, the other's good. It's types and shadows, but I don't like shadows. I like to get out in the pure light. And God, the Lord Jesus, has appeared to you in this dark hour when the world is trembling on the brink of woe. The religious world is in turmoil. He needs good, are you listening? He needs good, solid, able ministers of the new covenant. I mean, not off the wall, flaky individuals who don't have any integrity, who won't pay their bills, who don't know how to preach the gospel. We need somebody who knows how to do it. And the Lord has ordained that you're to be made into a minister of the new covenant. You know, I preached for years and I didn't understand the gospel. I remember the first time I began to get light on it in the Gulf Gate Assembly of God Church. Oh, a light turned on in me. You know, I felt if I could beat the Baptists to death, that God was pleased with me. You know, I'd get up, speak up, and tell all their sins and hang them over hell. And I felt like I'd preached a great sermon. One woman came to me one day in my Baptist church and said, Brother Osteen, she said, I just preached a great sermon on hell. I'd hung them over the fire with a spider web and told them it was about to break, you know. And she said, Brother Osteen, I never will forget this. Brother Osteen, she's about 45 years old. Brother Osteen, she said, I've had a nervous breakdown. And she said, I've fought such a hard battle. And I finally got out of the hospital. And I finally got enough strength to come today. And now I've come to hear some good news. And you preach this sermon on hell. And I never will forget the stuttering of her voice. I didn't do her a bit of good. Let me tell you something. The good news is not there's a hell. The good news is you don't have to go there. The good news is not you're a sinner. The good news, Christ died for your sins. See, we should be able ministers of the new covenant. Shake yourself out of denominational thinking and get into the new covenant thinking. I have appeared unto thee to make thee a minister and a witness. Never tire in all of your preaching and all of your sharing to remember that you are a witness. Not a judge to judge people. Not a lawyer to argue the case, but just take the witness stand and tell what Jesus has done for you. Oh, tell it like it happened yesterday. Share it on the mountain. Share it in the valley. I like to get in a crowded elevator and just tell somebody right there in the middle of the elevator about how I got saved just like it happened yesterday. I'll tell you, never tire of being just a simple witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. Now notice the next. Delivering you from the people to whom I send you. Do you know the greatest thing that's going to stand in your path, especially if you're a minister, you're going to do anything special for God, is the fact that you will buckle and succumb to the opinions of people. And let them guide you and douse water on your dream and tell you you can't do it. You know, when we started to build this great church down there, 1,000 people could come from all over Houston and tell why we couldn't do it. We were in the middle of a recession. No way you can build a church like that debt-free. No way. You see, but you got to be delivered from the people. People will tell you you can't go to Africa. People will tell you not to take your family to India. People will not tell you not to fulfill the will of God that He's spoken to your heart. People will do a lot of things. But God, Jesus said to Paul, I'm going to send you and I'm going to make you, but I'm going to deliver you from the people. Great it is to dream the dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream, but a greater thing is to fight life through. And say at the end, the dream is true. You know, a lot of people will talk you out of your dream. You got to be delivered from people. Paul said, when the Lord appeared unto me and gave me this revelation, I did not confer with flesh and blood. So if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you hear from God and don't listen to people. God so loved the world, He didn't send a committee. Beware of committees and boards. Except advisory boards, which we don't have to take their advice. The greatest curse to any vision that God gives to a man or woman is some board, a committee, telling them they can't do it. We must be delivered from the people. In my Baptist church, I will not tell you this, but I will. And I know you want to hear it. I asked for the board to come meet me after church, and there was a strange fellow there. I said, what are you doing here? He said, you asked for the board. He said, I've listened to you preach. I've never been so bored in my life. Well, I got rid of him real quick. You know, we laugh now, but I'm telling you folks, in the fight of life, in fulfilling your dream, when God visits you, don't share everything you know. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't try to interpret to other people what God has spoken to you about. Just leave it in your heart. God wants to deliver you from the people. Delivering you from the people to whom I now send you. I want you to notice your job, and I'll close with this, to open their eyes, that they may turn. Your business is to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, that they may turn from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins by faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But your task is simple. The Bible says the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. Who will open their eyes? Who can drive the devil away? Who can cast out demons? Nobody, except those who bear the name of Jesus. Your business is to go out into this darkened world, whether you stay in the United States or go to India or someplace in Asia or Africa or some other place, wherever God leads you. Wherever you are, your business is to open the eyes of those to whom you minister. You say, how do I do that? The entrance of thy words giveth light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You don't have to explain the gospel. You just proclaim the gospel. Just take the word of God. Don't talk about problems. Don't talk about ideas of man. Don't talk about 1,001 things. Just take the word of God that is light. Do you know I am thoroughly convinced, Brother Hagin, that there is a supernatural hearing as well as supernatural speaking. God somehow, as you take the word which is light and minister either one-to-one or in groups or in a church, if you minister the word of God, God will cause people in need to hear what they need to hear. Others will not hear that. Others will hear something else. I've had people come to me and say, I enjoyed, I got blessed, it changed my life, what you said today. I said, what is it that I said today that changed your life? When they tell me, I know I did not say that. God caused them to hear from the Scripture what they needed to hear. Thank God we're not working alone. The Holy Ghost is with us. So we are to open their eyes. We are to take the power of the Word and minister the Word in its simplicity until the Word brings light and the blinders fall off and they see where they are and they hear the good news and then they turn from the power of Satan unto God and they turn from darkness to light and they receive forgiveness of sins by faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be ushered out tonight into a world that is trembling on the brink of woe. Businessmen in our area are going broke and bankrupt. Many are on the verge of nervous breakdowns, committing suicide. Some of the greatest names in our area in Houston have declared bankruptcy. There's just a turmoil everywhere in the business world, the religious world, the intellectual world. But I'll tell you, you're being turned loose on a world with the answer. Thank God you're being turned loose with the answer. Walk tall. Be men and women of integrity and in honesty. Let Jesus make you pass the test. And I'll tell you, together, we'll populate heaven. Amen.
Thank you. Well, the entire 1988 class, please stand. I have to make one personal remark to you. You're good-looking troops, and we're proud of you. It's now my pleasure to present to Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, President of Rhema Bible Training Center, the 14th graduating class composed of 626 students. These 626 students have satisfactorily completed this ministerial training course and have complied with all the requirements necessary for this honor. We thus bestow upon them the privileges and the responsibilities pertaining thereto. And to those of you in the audience, we ask that you hold your applause until all the students have received their diplomas. Would the class please be seated? Would the first two rows of graduates please stand and come forward at this time to receive your diplomas?
I would like to mention that in this class, the 10,000th graduate will pass across the stage tonight.
Would the class please stand? On behalf of Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, Reverend Kenneth Hagin Jr., and all the faculty and staff of Rhema Bible Training Center and the Board of Advisors, it is now my pleasure and honor to present to you the class of 1988. You may move your tassels at this time. Would the class be seated, please? We would like to request that friends and relatives of the graduates please remain in the arena after the benediction until all the graduates have left the arena. Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin will now present the charge to the graduates. Brother Hagin.
Praise God. From Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th through the 13th verse, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then Romans, the 10th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. In the same chapter, 2 Timothy 2, verse 14 through 16, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And then verses 22 through 26 in the same opening. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Then in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 14th through the 17th verse, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, and then verse 7 and 8. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, strength, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2, and then verse 5. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Thy blessings, O Lord, we invoke upon this class. May they go with the anointing with the Holy Spirit empowering them to be witnesses wherever they shall go. And we pray, Father, and thank you in advance for the great harvest that shall be reaped. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
I know our program said that Brother Barry Hahn would be doing the benediction, but circumstances beyond ever our control, we've had to make a change. I think all of you will know the fellow, but a man from Tennessee, Brother Norval Hayes, is going to fill in for Barry tonight.
Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you first of all for Jesus and his ministry. We thank you for every step that he took on the seaside for our behalf. And we thank you, Lord, for every step he took to the mountain to face the devil and bring victory to those that sat in darkness. He brought great light. And I want to thank you, Lord, for this class, that they shall bring great light to a lost and dying dark world. And because of that, I want to thank you, Lord, for the Hagen family, for this ministry, and receiving the vision that you gave them, and for all the teachers that have spent their time teaching the Word of God to this class. Now, Father, I want to thank especially for this class. And I pray tonight that they will understand. They're not a student anymore. From this night forward, they shall be a warrior. And they shall go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring victory to the world. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will never let them forget that the greater one lives inside them. And they are serving a God that never fails. Help each one, Lord, to understand that they're serving a personal God and representing the Lord Jesus Christ for victory. And he is victory. And if they lack wisdom, the living God shall impart to them great wisdom. Help everyone in this class to understand, Heavenly Father, that their ministry is important. That people can be set free through their ministry. If it be a ministry of helps, if it be a public ministry. If they need healing, the Lord will impart to them. If they need authority, the Lord will impart to them. Let them know, Heavenly Father, there's been a May Wade, that man may reach God, a God that never fails. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that this class will remember all the days of their ministry, that God will never fail them, and he keeps his ears open to hear from them and to help them. I would like for the class now to turn your face toward heaven. And I would like for you to say at the end of this benediction and this prayer, at the end of this graduating exercises, I would like for the class to say, Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name, and I want to thank you because I believe from this day forward to the end of my life, when I turn my face toward heaven and ask you to help me and to help others, I believe when I pray that you shall always hear me. And everybody said together, Amen.